From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for Thursday, July 14, 2016. I'm Philip Grant. John Mason, writing in the Register Star, is asking what happened to the plans for the Dunn's Warehouse. Nearly a year has passed since the architectural firm of Saratoga Associates made its recommendations for the historic building located on Water Street in Hudson, but little has transpired since. The study was completed last summer and recommended some retail development in a mixed-use, walkable environment. Tamara Stolfo of Precus said she is pushing ahead with her plans to conduct a feasibility study around the idea of repurposing the building as an aquarium. The study will be complete in mid-September. Stolfo envisions a natural species ecosystem center with a history room and an educational kitchen. First Ward Alderman Rick Rector chairs the Common Council Economic Development Committee. He said there are several reasons the city needs to start looking at the building again. For one, he said, the building is a cornerstone for waterfront development. He said, and I quote, "But more than anything, it's coming apart. It's eroding. The sooner we start to shore up that building to diminish the erosion, the better off we'll be," end quote. The building is an agenda item for the Economic Development Committee's July 21st meeting. You can read that full story in the Register Star. Matthew Hamilton is reporting in the Times Union that the New York State Police said on Wednesday, July the 13th, they are reviewing a request to investigate a series of comments made online threatening the life of State Senate candidate Democrat Sarah Nicoli. Nicoli is challenging incumbent State Senator George Amador, a Republican from Rotterdam in the 46th District. The threatening comments appeared on a Facebook post attacking Nicoli, whose Quaker faith prohibits her from reciting the Pledge of Allegiance. The post appeared shortly before July 4th weekend on the Facebook page entitled, and I quote, "The Real Sarah Nicoli," end quote. The page is similar to other pages aimed at Democrats running for the state Senate. Both the post and the page were deleted by early Wednesday evening. The post called it unacceptable that Nicoli does not recite the pledge. The June 29th post stated, and I quote, "Tell Sarah Nicoli to honor America," end quote. Two Palatine Town board members sent a letter to the state police and Governor Andrew Cuomo requesting an investigation. The letter made reference to, and I quote, "hateful comments, including death threats and violent imagery," end quote. The two officials also asked the police to reveal the identity of the Facebook page administrator. Nicoli told the Associated Press this week she believes the attacks were orchestrated by Amador, a charge his campaign denied. Amador told the Times Union, and I quote, "If she chooses not to recite the Pledge of Allegiance based on her religious belief, that's her choice, just like it's my choice to try to be a man of faith and a man of conviction, to believe in God and that Jesus is my Lord and Savior," end quote. You can read that full story in the Times Union. A new study links medical marijuana to the decreased use of painkillers. Here's a report from the Public News Service.
A new study suggests that allowing the use of medical marijuana cuts down on prescription drug use. The study, published in the journal Health Affairs, analyzed national Medicare data. It found that prescriptions for all pain-killing medications, including OxyContin, were 6% lower in states with good medical marijuana laws. According to Kate Bell, a legislative counsel at the Marijuana Policy Project, this and other studies indicate people are substituting medical marijuana for costly prescription drugs,
which is saving our healthcare system money as well as potentially improving health, particularly since medical marijuana can help reduce the use of opioid painkillers.
A sharp rise in overdose deaths is being attributed to overuse and abuse of opioid painkillers. But New York State may not see the benefits of reduced painkiller use. The state's medical marijuana law is one of the most restrictive in the country, and according to Bell, it does not allow recommendations for marijuana to treat chronic pain.
Which means that most people who suffer from chronic pain, unless they happen to also have one of the limited number of qualifying conditions, will be unable to access the program.
Several bills to expand the state's medical marijuana law were introduced in the last legislative session, but none were passed. The new study can't draw a direct link between access to medical marijuana and reductions in prescription drug use, but Bell says it adds to a growing body of evidence that such substitution is common and should send a clear message to New York legislators.
Increasing the availability of medical marijuana, particularly for patients with chronic pain, can help address the opioid crisis, which is a major issue in New York as well as across the country.
The study also found that states with medical marijuana laws also saw reductions in prescriptions to treat anxiety, depression, nausea, psychosis, seizures, and sleep disorders. For Public News Service, I'm Andrea Sears.
Debbie Mayer in the Columbia paper is reporting that at the June 21st Germantown board meeting, there was tension, and I quote, audible between board members and some residents, end quote, about filling the Comprehensive Plan Review Committee. Brittany Dufresne, deputy supervisor, said the board did not have time to prepare to address the issue. Ellen Jurat Epstein from the audience said, and I quote, what is your process for choosing people for the committee? What are your criteria, end quote? Dufresne answered, and I quote, we want a wide range of residents, business owners, young people, longtime residents, and representatives from different advisory committees, such as economic development and history. We're also trying to figure out what the process would be regarding the consultant to the committee. That's all we're going to say tonight. End quote. Instead, the process will continue at the July 26 Germantown board meeting. You can read that full story in the Columbia paper. Lance Wheeler shot a video posted on the WGXE newsroom of the more than 200 people attending the July 12th vigil in Hudson in front of the Columbia County Courthouse about the recent police killings of black men. Speakers denounced the killings of Philando Castile and Alton Sterling while Hudson police monitored the rally that completed without incident. The vigil was organized by two Hudson-based groups, the Staley B. Keith Social Justice Center and Showing Up for Racial Justice. Greg Hudson is reporting in the Daily Mail that at a recent public hearing in Hunter, New York State Department of Health research scientist Pamela Young presented facts, figures, and information about the new filtration avoidance determination for New York City water, how it affects upstate residents, and why the existing FAD drafted in 2007 needs to be replaced. The FAD is a Federal Environmental Protection Agency waiver granted to New York City, allowing New York City to avoid using filtration systems on its surface water supply coming from reservoirs west of the Hudson River. The city uses approximately 1 billion gallons of water from upstate reservoirs west of the Hudson River each day, the equivalent of 90% of the city's water intake. The FAD is a series of land use regulations imposed on lands in and around the watershed and reservoirs where city water supply originates. The purpose of the public hearing is to open a dialogue between watershed communities and the state officials. Jewett Town Board member Michael McCray said, and I quote, I hope this will continue to encourage a dialogue which will lead to a better relationship between our communities and your organization, end quote. He said the input from local municipalities and residents should be given fair audience throughout the process. You can read that full story in the Daily Mail. Scott Wallman reports in Politico New York that on July the 8th, Governor Andrew Cuomo's administration proposed giving away $1 billion in a nuclear subsidy program, which proponents say is a smart way to keep the air clean, but opponents say is a bailout to the dangerous dying industry. Wallman writes, and I quote, either way, it will lead to higher utility bills for consumers, end quote, and the state will need less natural gas in the near term if the plan is implemented. The proposal will specifically benefit the Exelon Corporation, which said it would shut down one of the two reactors at Nine Mile Point in Oswego County and its Gina facility in Wayne County if New York did not provide subsidies. Wallman reports Exelon has spent $430,000 on lobbying in New York in the last 2 years. The Public Service Commission could consider the proposal next month. You can read that full story in Politico New York. And now for the weather. The National Weather Service is predicting showers and thunderstorms for today, mainly after 4 p.m. Some of those storms could produce gusty winds and heavy rain. Minor urban or poor drainage flooding is possible. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature high near 87 degrees. For Thursday night, showers and thunderstorms are likely, mainly before 7 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a low around 68. The forecast for the next 2 days, well, on Friday, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms after 1 p.m. It will be mostly sunny with a temperature high near 90 degrees. For Friday night, a slight chance of showers before 2 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a low around 64. And on Saturday, a slight chance of showers after 2 p.m., mostly sunny with a high near 85 degrees. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low around 62. Sunrise today was at 5:32 a.m., and the sun will set at 8:30 p.m., providing us with 14 hours and 57 minutes of daylight, about 1 minute less than yesterday. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for today, Thursday, the 14th day of July, 2016. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.